The 91st Psalm this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young men and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. The word of the Lord. And I want to concentrate on this first verse, if you would please, this morning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to talk about shadows today. There are some references in Scripture that speak of shadows that we want to avoid. Yea, although I walk through the valley of the what? Shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There are shadows in Scriptures that we don't like, that are dangerous, that we'd rather not go through. And yet here it tells us that we, if we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, everything is going to be okay. The shadow of the Almighty. Imagine, if you will, this psalm, no doubt written by David, which would be appropriate. But imagine, if you will, a desert dweller. Someone who is traveling through the deserts of the Holy Land, he or she will take their shade with him in the form of some kind of a tent or an enclosure that they can roll up. And when they take a rest in the noonday sun in the desert, they can unroll it and get underneath it and provide themselves some shade. How many have ever been out for a walk and it was really, really hot, and you looked for the closest shade tree you could find? Anybody here? Yeah. I was a little boy growing up in Central California, Modesto, Ceres area to be specific, if you know where that is. And for whatever reason, we never wore shoes. We had shoes, but we never wore them. And so we would go out walking on a hot Central California day, and we would just burn our little feet to death. We would just burn our little feet, and we would just hop, you know, just run until we found a shade tree, and then we'd, you know, rest our feet, and then we would go a little further and rest our feet. We were not really bright kids. But shade was so important because it helped cool off. Shade actually creates a little microclimate. It can be 90 degrees out as it's supposed to be today, but you get under a shade tree and it'll lower the temperature at least 10 degrees, a little microclimate. And so shade is important. So just imagine, if you will, this being written by this weary desert traveler, and they carry their shade with them to try to help relieve some of the pressure. But then when they come upon an oasis, they come upon some kind of a lone tree out in the desert, and that shade becomes invaluable to them because they can rest underneath it. They can refresh themselves and get ready for the rest of the journey. And I believe that that's what the psalmist was saying here. Is that we as travelers for the Lord, we that are working our way through this life, need to get under the shadow of the Almighty every now and then, right? And refresh ourselves so that the sun doesn't beat down on us too hard. Life can be tough, and it is tough. It's tough for all of us sometimes. Life can be a joy, but it can also be a pain. And that's why I think it's important to rest underneath the shadow of the Almighty. It's one thing for evil to cast a shadow that we want to avoid, but when the Lord casts the shadow, that's something that we can just really relish in. The scripture tells us that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So that's the entrance to the shadow of the Almighty. It's the secret place of the Lord, the secret place. He uses two references to the name of the Lord. One in verse 1, Most High. The second is the Almighty. And we know from those two names, there are other names for God, but we know from those two that God is the Most High. There is none above Him. Amen? There is none above Him. And that name is very illustrative of the fact that He is big, He's tall, He's the Most High. And that casts a long shadow that we can get under. But it also says the shadow of the Almighty. There's no one greater than God. There's no one more powerful than our God. We sang it this morning. How great is our God? How great is our God? Amen. The Almighty, he's just greater than anyone. And so the key to the shadow is dwelling in the secret place. Now, what is the secret place? Maybe different things to different people, but I believe that as you read through this psalm, to me, the secret place has got to be the presence of God. When we talk about the presence of God, we not only talk about the presence of God coming to us, but we also remember that we need to go into the presence of God, right? Remember the Old Testament priests, and it carried on even into Jesus' day, that the priests would go into the place of the presence of God. They would go into the most holy place, there where they believed that the presence of God came down. In the desert wanderings, the story of Moses and the deliverance of the children of Israel, you'll remember that they built that really ugly looking tabernacle. And I call it ugly because it was designed that way, made out of badger skin and poles. And I've read where most commentators believe that it was made to be pretty homely on the outside because of the value of the stuff that is inside. And the appearance on the outside wouldn't be anything that marauding armies would want to rob. I mean, all they see is this badger skin tent over there, and who wants to? There can't be anything valuable in that. And that's what they said of Jesus. The book of Isaiah describes Jesus as not being appearance wise as of anything that we would desire. Now, I know you've got pictures of Jesus in your home, and I don't want to bring any disparity to that, but Jesus, according to Isaiah, wasn't anything special to look at. He was just an ordinary Jewish man. Are you with me today? Are you with me? But the value of Jesus was what's inside. He was the Son of God. Amen. He was the sacrificial lamb. And so in the Old Testament, this tabernacle that they built to wander through the desert with them didn't look like much on the outside, but the inside was precious because that's where the presence of God was. That's where the cloud came by day and the fire by night, because that's where the glory was. That's where the presence of the Lord was. And so in Jesus, who occupied a human body as very God and very man, There maybe wasn't very much to look at on the outside, but inside was the essence of what God wanted to do, and it's who hung on the cross and died for us. Amen. That's why these elements. Now, the communion trays, I mean, those are, you know, kind of gold looking. They're really not gold, believe me. They look real fancy. But you look on the inside, and really what we see is just that little cracker there and grape juice, and there's nothing really spectacular about that, you know. But what they represent is the most valuable thing we have, and that is our salvation. Amen. And so when we talk about the secret place or the presence of God, you don't have to be in a cathedral to experience the presence of God, though you can. You don't have to be in our church, but you can. You don't have to be anywhere special to experience the presence of God, because God's presence is everywhere and it comes where you are. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there in the midst of them. Two or three. And you say, well, what if I'm by myself? Well, you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's four. You got it covered, right? You got it covered. But sometimes we've got to go into the presence of God. We can ask for the presence of God to come into us and come to us, but sometimes we've got to pursue and go into the place of His presence as well. That's why I think when we come to church, when we come together to worship, as we are instructed to do in Scripture, that we need to come into expecting and believing that God's presence will be here. And it will. It'll be different maybe to every person that's here, but God is here because we are gathered together. And this secret place can just, and this presence can just come in a powerful way. I was traveling to the camp yesterday to do some work up at the church camp that the organization owns. And as I was driving, as is the case many times, I just really felt a burden for a need that was present and that I knew about in a family. And I just was really burdened in my heart, and all of a sudden, as I began to pray, I just felt a powerful, powerful presence come in to that old Ford van with 247,000 miles on it. I've got more miles than my van does, but the presence of God came into that van, and as I'm traveling and as I'm driving, I just felt something very powerful inside. And I've listened to my wife lately. I didn't start worshiping with my eyes closed while I drive. You shouldn't text and drive. You shouldn't talk on the phone and drive. And you shouldn't probably close your eyes and worship God as you drive. It's probably best not to do that. But I felt something very powerful. I began to speak in my prayer language. And I began to just resist the power of the enemy. I just began to pray. I just began to bind him. I just began to claim the promises of God. And I want to tell you, I felt the presence of God. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, as I began to pray that thing to peace, peace just came. It just lifted. It just, that burden lifted and the peace came. And it was a wonderful experience there in the secret place, because I believe that I had come into the shadow of the Almighty. And there was rest there and there was strength there. So the secret place, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's the key to getting under the shadow, is coming into the presence of God. Now Jesus, when he was on earth, cast a long shadow when he was here. When you read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even flowing over into the book of Acts, you'll see the long shadow that Jesus cast while he walked on this earth. And though I said, as Isaiah said, there's no appearance of him that would necessarily attract us to him, the miracles and the power of what he taught drew the crowds. Amen? It drew the crowds, and they came. And the shadow that he cast while he was on this earth changed lives. There is no doubt about it. It changed lives. And I'm not talking about the physical shadow that Jesus cast as a man, but the shadow that he cast as the Almighty, as the mighty God. It was long enough to embrace lepers, the lame, the lonely, and the lost. They all came under the shadow of the Almighty. The lepers that no one else were to touch, Jesus touched. The lame that were beggars that no one cared about, Jesus cared about. The lonely that people seemed to ignore, Jesus embraced. And the lost, Jesus went out to find. Amen. And it was because of the shadow that he cast, the long shadow. We say of someone famous, we say of someone who has influence, we say of someone who has made a difference in a world that they cast a long shadow, that their influence goes a long way. But no one cast a longer shadow than Jesus Christ and what he did. It was good enough for the blind, the bad, the bewildered, and the broken. And again, no one cared about the blind, but Jesus healed the blind. And those that were bad, people cast them out, but Jesus invited them in. It was the bewildered that didn't know where to go or what to do. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And it was the broken that no one else cared about, that Jesus says, "Come to me, and I will heal you. I won't break you like a bruised reed, but I will help you because I'm casting the shadow of the Almighty." That's what Jesus did in the Gospels. That shadow was good enough for the rich, the poor, and the outcasts. And so you may be here today, and you may be rich, or you may be poor, or you may be an outcast, you may be homeless, but I want to tell you now, everybody can find a home in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Everybody can find a place in the shadow of the Almighty. And so it was with Jesus. He welcomed the rich. He welcomed the poor. He welcomed the outcast. Because when you got into the shadow of the Almighty, the ground was level there. Amen. The ground was level. You look at the 12 disciples that Jesus chose. They were, to take the phrase of someone my age group, a motley looking crew. And they were from various backgrounds. Some wealthy, some very poor, some hated, and some adored, but he called 12. And I think those 12 are representative of all of us. I'm looking at this audience this morning and I'm saying, could Jesus get 12 of us to be disciples? Maybe 10? No, he could pick 12 of you. And we would be as diverse as that original 12. But I think they represent the fact that all, whoever will, may come. Amen? And then finally, that shadow that Jesus cast, the soldier could find rest in it, the zealot, the thief, and the Pharisee, because they did. The soldier that said, truly this man was the Son of God, as he was on the cross, and that shadow was cast of salvation. The soldier was embraced by the shadow. The zealot, who thought he could change things by physical force, to realize that only God can change what really counts, and that's the heart of a man or a woman. The thief on the cross that said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And the Pharisee, who thought he was so all of that, realized he was none of that without Jesus. Amen? You see, all of these that I've mentioned and more were found in the shadow of the Almighty. And they were changed because of that shadow. And that's what the shadow of the Almighty does. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why do I want to get under the shadow of the Almighty? Because I need the rest. I need the repose. I need the strength. But I also need the change. Because that's what happens in the shadow of the Almighty. That's what happens when you come to Jesus. Excuse me. He changes you. And sometimes the best way that we have to change others around us is to just change ourselves. Amen? To look inside, deep inside, and to change ourselves. We were in Bend this last week, and on Friday night, it was about 6:30, I was watching little Connor in the push cart. What's it called? Baby stroller. Thank you. Sorry. I was watching him in the stroller, and I was just rocking him back and forth, and I looked over at the stadium, and then I checked my phone, and sure enough, Franklin Graham was in Bend on Friday to present the gospel. He's coming to our area. I hope you can attend, whether in Portland or Tacoma, the closest ones to us. But we left about 7 o'clock, so I live-streamed his gathering, and Jeremy Camp was there, and others were there, and then Franklin came on. And similarly to his father, he began to preach the gospel in such a powerful way. And he mentioned what we know today, and that is people need change. People need change. And that is, as he said in Tacoma when he was there for the rally at our capital, or Olympia, I'm sorry, as he said there, he said, There are changes needed to be done in this nation, and Democrats can't change them, and Republicans can't change them, independents can't change them, and socialists really can't change them. But he said only one person can make the changes that we need, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus changes what's inside here. And if we can change what's inside here, then we can change what's out there for the good and for the better. So let Jesus' shadow change you this morning. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the shadow of the Almighty, for that secret place, that dwelling place, that might be on our deck, as Eddie preached a couple of weeks ago, with a Bible in our hands and a cup of coffee. It might be in our Ford van headed toward the camp. It might be in a worship service like ours this morning. It might be in a prayer closet. It might be on a walk praying for our high school and our middle schools in just a couple weeks. Wherever we are, Lord, we can experience the shadow of the Almighty. And that shadow can change things. It can change our circumstances. It can change us. It can change my outlook. And Lord, we invite you to change what needs to be changed in us this morning. Thank you for communion. Thank you that the blood of Jesus changes things. It makes sick bodies well, blind eyes to see. Men, little boys with grand mal seizures, not to have them anymore. It changes sinners to saints. The shadow that is cast by the Lord Jesus Christ can change us from leper to clean, from Pharisee to one who loves and humbles. Father God, the shadow that is cast by the Savior is available. Help us to find that place of your presence, Lord, and just seek your face and to know you in a very personal way. If by chance there's someone here this morning that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that right now they would just invite Jesus to come into their life. Say, Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess that. I admit that. But I need changed. And I believe your blood can change my life. I believe your blood can wash away my sin. And as they pray a simple prayer like that, Lord, change them from sinner to saint. We've all been there, Lord. We've all prayed that prayer at some time or another, Lord. The majority of us are here, I'm sure. And we can testify to the fact that that change made all the difference in the world. And Lord, as we go from this first service, we get ready for second, we might see someone coming in. Help us to greet them with a smile and with a welcome, knowing, Lord, that your presence is here to minister to every need. Thank you again for this time together. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you give Jesus a hand of applause this morning and thank him? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming. Hope to see you again next Sunday if possible. Have a great week. God bless you.